Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday, so you know what that means. It is Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Our favorite time of the week. Hutton, we finally have a new Titans head coach, Brian Callahan. It was announced this morning and it is made official that he will serve as the Titans' next head coach. Your initial reaction to the hiring? I know on day one, it's always different than year two or year three, but on day one, did Amy Adams Strunk made the right decision?
Look, I don't know if it's the right decision. Well, time will tell on that and the way we, that's phrased, Caroline. But hey, as far as the direction, meeting her statement that she put out, yeah, I mean, I think this was a thorough search. I think that this was one that was planned, thought out, and it was done the right way. Let's put it that way. As far as the vision, the scope of experience that he has, I like it. I like the quarterbacks that he's worked with. I love the quarterback development that he's been a part of. I like the success rate that he's been a part of with a high draft pick and Joe Burrow and what we've seen from Cincinnati when he's healthy. There's a lot to do with this Titans roster. And as far as the quarterback development here goes, that's priority number one. It starts with Will Levis. Does it end there? It doesn't have to. I've heard a lot of discussion of, oh, you know, the coaches that come in are interviewing are mentioning Will Levis. Sure, that's fine. But surely, I mean, if I'm sitting in that room and I'm interviewing for the job, I'm saying, like, here's how we're going to maximize him. But here is how I maximize any quarterback that I'm working with. And I think the thing that was going for Callahan was the way he has adapted and his approach to the different personalities at that position. From Matthew Stafford to Peyton Manning, very different composites there on how they want to be micromanaged, how they want input, how they want a certain coaching. Levis will present the same aspects. And Burrow is more, much more quiet compared to some other quarterbacks out there. He's certainly flamboyant, but he's not the guy that's on the commercials or doing the Saturday Night Live skits, right? Like there's a dynamic there. There's a balance that I think he has figured out, and that's through his experience and certainly his connection throughout the league. Now it's on to the staff because that's just as important.
What's your concern level of Brian Callahan having no play calling experience or not being the main play caller, I should say?
I think I'm somewhere in the middle on what Zach Taylor said, where he's like, it doesn't really matter. You're putting too much emphasis on it. It does, because in the moment, somebody's going to make that call. From the play calling perspective, once you become the head coach, first-time head coach, first-time play caller, that's going to be extremely difficult. Vrabel's trying to do this. He had to finally acquiesce, and we finally knew that Shane Bowen was calling the defensive plays. Then you have what happened with Ken Wisenhunt, where, I mean, offense is on the field. LeBeau's coaching the defense. It's not Wisenhunt. There is a balance to that as well that I think is extremely hard to figure out. And you don't have long to figure it out in the league. That's an unknown that I'm not necessarily, positive about, because the unknowns there mean a heck of a lot. The other side of it, though, is, look, if I'm hiring a guy based on what he's done offensively and I'm all in on everything we're talking about in the meeting, in the interview, you want to maximize why you're bringing him in and his offensive philosophy. And Amy Adams Strunk has made it clear what she wants and how she wants a team to be able to adapt and evolve. And based on where the NFL is headed, this is a guy who's been a part of an offense in Cincinnati that's had three different 1,000-yard receivers. And of course, Joe Burrow, who's been to what, three Pro Bowls and certainly had the Super Bowl appearance. I'm intrigued by that aspect. But at the same time, Caroline, consider this. Most of the time when an offensive coordinator is hired, most of the time, there's a different play caller. The trend now is that's not the case. Your OC is going to be your play caller as well. And I tend to lean that way, because why else would you hire a guy unless you're not going to use his top quality? And that's Callahan's quality, offense.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton. Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt. Because I think owners nowadays, because so much turnover, they would rather get an offensive-minded coach. So if indeed the team does well, you know, even if the offensive coordinator goes, you still have the architect, the guy that's calling the plays, the head coach. He's still in place. But with that being said, because I know, you know, the interview with Thomas Brown and then Coach Shaw, they seem to be, even though, you know, I've heard that, hey, Thomas Brown is widely respected throughout the coaches there here in the NFL. But it just seemed like maybe that was just an interview just to have an interview. But now reading the press clips from what Miss Amy has said in, you know, the new job title that Rand has and his responsibility, do you look at those interviews as sort of, I don't want to say sham interviews because I think they were not, but they are more, they're interviews that we need to really look at now because Rand does have some control over the coaching staff.
Yeah, he's overseeing it.
Yeah.
He's overseeing specifically, what did it say, Callahan and his coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. I don't look at this, I don't look at any of the interviews as sham this go around. Mm-hmm. And here's why. The new policy that's in place, the Titans would not be taking advantage of the policy if they didn't interview as many as they did over Zoom. And with Rand Carthon conducting his first ever coaching search like this, I would absolutely want to see him do exactly what they did. And keep an open mind, and I think they did. They interviewed a variety of candidates, a vast array of backgrounds. And it was clear they had their sights were laser focused on Callahan, on Brian Callahan, pretty early on. To the point where they sent him a plane. They made sure he wasn't going to leave. The organization wasn't the only one that was interested in him. Mm-hmm. And I think they knew that. And once he got him here, it was like a recruit. It's like a free agent. They didn't want him to leave the room. And that's exactly what happened. They're all in with him. And I think his background with some of the coaches, just looking at his experience and who he's coached, like the specific names, the four that are all rattled off at quarterback start with Manning but end with Burrow, Carr and Stafford, but it also just growing up in the family he grew up in, mm-hmm. Mace. I mean, he's going to have connections, and I'm curious about first time head coach, 39 years old. He's my age. Would I want a veteran defensive coach as my coordinator, or am I going more the line with what Rand's doing, which is more the younger vibe? Because do you want? I'll use LeBeau again because I brought him up. Do you want an old defensive coordinator that has been in the league and he is tried and true? Or are you going with some of the same dynamic and thought process that you're going to bring to the offense defensively? I'm curious there. Maybe it's a former head coach. You know, Mike Munchak has also been one that's been thrown out there as interested in coming back. I know PK said that. So how does he make up this coaching staff? How much does Rand just say, we're going with this guy and this guy? But on that list, I don't know about you guys. Did you see a Matt LaFleur obvious guy that was not an offensive coordinator but was interviewing for a head coach that would then be elevated into a coordinator position with the Titans, much like we saw with LaFleur and Vrabel? I didn't have one that jumped out to me. Mm-mm. But in Thomas Brown's case and others, guys are going to be available.
Yeah, they are. So, I mean, my whole thing with that is, you know, if you are – going to be the guy that is instrumental not only in signing your head coach but then his assistant, then you got to get this right. You have to make sure you marry him with assistants that think just like him. I said yesterday, whether it's Dan Pitchard, who is now the quarterback's coach but may get elevated to offensive coordinator, or Troy Walters, who is highly regarded as well. He's the Cincinnati Bengals receiver coach. If he doesn't get elevated to OC or quarterbacks coach, could that be someone?
Well, there you go.
That they go out and look for.
Yeah, that would be Callahan bringing that mm-hmm. in too, yeah. Right? Like every coach would bring in a list of names that he knows he's going to bring on with his staff. I mean, that would be not item zero, but it's pretty close to the top of the list of questions I'm going through once I pick the second interviews. First interviews, by and large, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the agencies that these guys are rep by have already done some background work across the league on which guys are available, which guys are around, just through same representation, same building, different office down the hall type thing. That happens a lot, too. Not total staff, mm-hmm. but maybe a name or two that may be outside the box that you weren't necessarily you didn't know the guy was connected to because you're just looking at his coaching history.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And I would think that Callahan, with his dad, too, would have, even though he's a first-time head coach, you would be concerned because he's so young, maybe doesn't have the network that a guy that's been in the league for longer
he's got that. Yeah,
would have. That. But I would think he would have a pretty good network for sure.
I think so. And just the organizations he's worked for and the quarterbacks alone are going to attract certain coaches and on staffs. He's been around a lot. And yeah, he's bounced around quite a bit too, even for a year or so. I think if I'm Rand Carthon, I'm letting my guy, the guy that they've zeroed in on, choose his staff by and large. You're only saying, hey, are you cool with bringing in X guy who I know is going to come in here and coach this position well? I mean, that's what they did with Robinson during the interview with Mularkey. All those guys were asked about Mularkey. That's what Mularkey was saying that. So again, like that's we've seen that before. The coach needs to have his staff. It needs to be Callahan's staff. And I don't know why you hire him unless you're letting him hire everybody that he wants to bring in. That's on his list. That was a part of the interview. That would be a part of the reason why you want to hire the guy.
Hud, I'm looking right now at Harbaugh and Belichick. And right now, it looks like it's a question, just listening around, reading the tea leaves. It looks like it's a question for the Chargers and the Falcons. Like, how much are you willing to sort of turn the keys over to your whole organization? Like Harbaugh, he's got so much leverage, right? He can always just sit back and say, I guess I'll stay at Michigan. And he can leave him at the altar. But it's like, okay, if you want me, you got to bring this guy. You got to bring that guy. You got to give me this control, that control. I'm sure Belichick's got the same kind of thing. So I'm wondering where Mike Vrabel's camp is right now as he watches this, because it could kind of go either way, right? They've been courting those two guys, but there's a lot of dominoes that would fall depending on what happens with those two jobs.
Yeah, and I think just the mentalities are very, very similar, I think, between Harbaugh and Vrabel, like the alpha quality. Like I almost think they have to rein in the alpha vibe when they're sitting across from Spanos in these interviews. You know, like especially in Los Angeles, the alpha vibe was certainly turned on for Arthur Blank, who hosted Bill Belichick on his yacht in the Virgin Islands for the first meeting. So, I mean, that's the trump card there. Here's where I think Vrabel may have, if the hesitation is just the control that the guys are asking for. Vrabel comes from a structure with John Robinson. John Robinson was the president of the organization. You know, he had that executive role and it was overseeing much of the same concepts and the building. So while Burke Nyhill's doing that with the Titans, that was Robinson's role prior to Burke taking it over. So I think from that perspective, if you're looking at Seattle or you want to have that structure in LA or Atlanta, Atlanta's got it with Rich McKay and then Terry Fontenot, the general manager. I think it's more about McKay and Blank with Belichick. In the case of the Chargers, it's just at this point, I don't even know if it's about the money or if it's about the power. It's about, okay, now he's wanting this. He's wanting the staff. He's going to pick his GM. He's going to bring in the analytics department, all of the health science department. They're going to have all this. And maybe it's a wing of something that they don't even have established yet. I mean, again, like that, I think it's more about how you allocate the funds necessary to do what Harbaugh wants, because he's getting the blank check from Los Angeles. And consider this too, Willie. Atlanta and LA, let's just throw LA in there, but really Atlanta. Atlanta has set themselves up in a very weird spot where it was Belichick. They waited a week to ask for any permission to interview any coach. Meanwhile, the Titans are doing it almost immediately. Atlanta didn't. It was Belichick, and then it was Harbaugh, and then all of a sudden Vrabel was sprinkled in, but now they're bringing in Bobby Slowick. There's a big gap between Bill Belichick and Bobby Slowick. And no matter if they could hire the right guy, just on its face, it's going to be viewed as, wow, they went after these three guys and didn't land one of them. What's going on there? It will be viewed in a much different PR light than maybe what will happen if they didn't, maybe what the Titans did, but they didn't even pursue the veteran coaches. They went straight for the new innovative first time guy that they think can turn things around and evolve the way the NFL is doing.
Yeah, you laid that out really well. I was listening to a good podcast, the MMQB, and side note, I really hope that the talent that is stemming from Sports Illustrated with all the issues they're having. Yeah. I hope they end up okay in all this. They start the podcast by saying, we don't really know what's happening the next few weeks. So far, we're okay, but we know that's going on. But Albert Breer, who I think is pretty connected going back to Belichick and New England, you know, he was saying, like, when you go after a guy like that, you have to have two tracks, right? There's the one track where you get Belichick, and then you have to have another track if he just decides, this is not for me. You're not giving me what I need here. So so if it's got to be tough for Vrabel. Here's another one they brought up that I thought was really intriguing. They used Tampa Bay in the Tony Dungy era, and they compared it to the Buffalo Bills of today. And they basically said, well, Tampa, sort of at the end of the rope, said, we've hit our ceiling. We got to try something a little different. And they traded for Gruden, and it worked. And it was right at the end, and then it sort of crumbled right after that. And they said, well, you know, what if the Bills decided to shake it up and say, we've hit our ceiling with McDermott, who's been really successful, way more successful than his decades of predecessors before that. But I was just thinking of Vrabel with that. I was like, what if you wanted to do that, would Vrabel be an interesting dark horse for that job? It's not open yet, so we don't know. But like, I'm just wondering how Vrabel's viewing all of these different avenues that could end up going somewhere. Because I believe he will be coaching some team next year.
Well, and I do too. I do too. That is – so the door is still open for Buffalo. The window, though, is going to change dramatically of the way – the makeup of that team.
Right.
And McDermott's the one that's going to catch the heat and the fall for it because they've had
– He's in a tough spot.
6 years now. What'd you say?
He's in a tough spot, right? He's been there a long time. It's almost Vrabel here, right? You knew if he stayed and they were 2-5 next year, Vrabel was going to take the fall. Just like McDermott. If they struggle out of the gate next year, he's been there. That would be his eighth year next year.
And he's been with Allen for 6, and they have 1 AFC championship appearance.
Yeah.
And this is during an era where they've turned things around and they've been dominant in that division over the Patriots. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like Tom Brady was there for the entirety of it. And they've had to go through that. You're onto it, but they are too in the podcast. But the question would be, at what point do you do that? Based on, I mean, this would be the type of coaching availability that you want to get in on. The Pegulas are in the middle of their stadium stuff as well there, and they want to maximize the load of money they just gave Allen, and they're going to have to. I mean, they're what, $40 million over the cap or something right now? It's crazy for 2024. So they're going to maneuver their roster to stay competitive, and they'll be right there with Josh Allen. Will Sean McDermott be there? It's the same predicament Jerry Jones is in, except there is a lot more hype around Buffalo given their quarterback situation and given what the roster has done and the numbers and wins that they've been putting up. Dallas has been doing the same, but in Dallas, it's just kind of Jerry's world. In Buffalo, there's no figurehead like that. It goes straight to the coach, and McDermott's likely to take the fall for a very good football team that was made up in a different way this year. Always, I mean, they've been playoff mode for like 2 months, so it's a different vibe with the Bills, and they have a lot of free agents, and they are getting older. It's an aging roster, and they went for speed on defense, and as soon as those guys got hurt, they got slow.
It quite literally is Jerry's world, literally and figuratively. Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutton, we also learned, you know, in the release of from the Titans, Brian Callahan, of course, officially named head coach. Rand Carthon, he was given final roster say, but also Chad Brinker got a promotion to president of football ops, so he'll oversee salary cap management, analytics, overall operations with the Tennessee Titans. What do you make of that promotion for Chad Brinker?
I think this is much of what he was doing. Not every line and verse or song and verse there with what she laid out in the detail, but the personnel, bringing guys in for tryouts on Tuesdays, overseeing that department. I mean, he was heavy into that, and he was touted as the analytics guy. The numbers guy, the salary cap guy, not the analytics guy, the salary cap guy. Whenever they put their staff together and we were just discussing the three the brain trust, so to speak, overseeing the general manager department. It starts with Carthon, then it goes to Brinker, and Brinker's been there. I mean, he was in the I know Wyatt put out a photo of them in the draft room. He's heavily involved, and I think it's giving a title and a delegation to a role that he's familiar with and likely he had his hands in it to begin with, is my guess. And now I like the delegation. I like the branches on the tree more than the questions being asked about, okay, which direction are they going and who's doing what? I don't think you have to do that anymore. You know the departments, you know the allocation and the delegation. They had to do this. That simplifies things and it ends any questions either internally or externally about what's going on. And this is how it should have been. General manager should have the power that is laid out here. The interesting note is what Mason brought up earlier about the coaching staff. But beyond that, the final roster control, done. We know that now. We get to end that saga, and it's something they wouldn't put to bed last year because, well, they didn't do this. They didn't delegate and allocate exactly what should have been done at the time because of the range of the stripes. And you've got the pelts on the wall, so to speak, with Vrabel, who had been there for a while, and a first-time general manager. That balance now shifts, much like it did whenever Robinson and Vrabel connected, that this is the same situation where they're paired together and Carthon was running everything behind the scenes throughout this process.
I'm with you, Hutt. The clarity of who does what, whose responsibility is what, I think it's huge, especially since we've had the past year of, yes, okay, who is doing what, who's responsible for this, who is to blame for this. I think it's massive that we finally have a little bit of clarity on that. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you as always, and we'll chat next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great rest of the week.
All right, appreciate it. You too, Hutt. All right, coming up next, we will react to what Jonathan Hutton had to say there. Plus, we've touched a lot on Rand Carthon, his relationship with Amy Adams Strunk. Now that he has final say, what does that mean for him? What does that mean for the Tennessee Titans? But also, there's another nugget in the press release that Rand Carthon will also oversee Brian Callahan and the football side of things. So what is that relationship between Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon look like? What is kind of his vicinity? What is his role in terms of actual roster construction or his hand in what Brian Callahan has to do in the coaching staff? We'll get into that coming up next. And of course, your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Appreciate Jonathan Hutton for joining us in the last segment. We did get confirmation. Brian Callahan's introductory press conference will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. So we will carry that live and in its entirety. Again, that is tomorrow at 1 p.m. So we got a confirmation from the Titans this morning. Brian Callahan will be the next head coach. Also, we got confirmation of who will have final say. It is Rand Carthon. Now, in this email announcing that Rand Carthon has been promoted to executive VP and general manager, says his duties will expand to include all areas that impact the football team, roster control. So that's final say, what we've been talking about for the last year whenever we first were introduced to the glorious C word that we have been using ad nauseum for the last 365 days of collaboration. He will be involved in team activities and personnel decisions, including draft and free agency acquisitions, oversight of Callahan and his coaching staff, scouting, sports medicine, and player engagement. Now, I know in job description and title, Rand Carthon, it is Amy 1, Rand 2, Brian Callahan 3. So that would put Rand Carthon in oversight of Brian Callahan and the coaching staff. But I think, you know, regardless of job description, Brian Callahan needs to have full control over his coaching staff. That it needs to be Brian Callahan who makes the decision of who is OC, mm-hmm, who is DC, so on and so forth.
That's what happened. I'll give you a little history. Uh-huh. I remember in the early days of the Oilers as they were transitioning to the Titans, there was one off season. I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it was before the Super Bowl. I think Jeff Fisher really tried to flex with Bud Adams, for lack of a better term, to try to gain more control of his assistant coaches. I think if I'm remembering this right, I think it was Alan Lowry. They had struggled in some special teams, and he really went to bat for Alan Lowry and went directly to Bud Adams to say, I need to have this decision-making power. And I think he was granted that during that process, if I remember that correctly. So I do think it's a thing that comes up that I think a coach would like to have. I feel like that's reasonable. These are two guys that are brand new at this, basically. So maybe you can have some discussion about that. Maybe there has been discussion about that. That, okay, you know, Rand's got the title, but you defer. I would think you'd want your coach to be happy and have plenty of say in that. Like, that's an interesting dynamic to me. That makes sense, that you should be able to make the call on your...
Yeah, you should. And I would tend to believe that, Brian Callahan will have a list of guys that he wants. I'm sure Rand would say, okay, these are your guys. All right, let's interview them and see how it goes. But I do also believe that, there's a reason why he hired Shaw. I mean, there's a reason why he interviewed Shaw. There's a reason why he interviewed Brown. There's a reason why because those two guys were sort of out of the box. Like, why are they interviewing those guys? Shaw's been out of coaching for a year. He had been in the NFL since, I think, his Baltimore days was the last time he was in the NFL.
He was 2007
was his last year, I believe.
Okay.
And that was in Baltimore. And then he went and took the head coaching job, I believe, at Stanford. Or he was on that coaching staff and then took it after Harbaugh left. Guys like that he interviewed, he may want them to be a part of the staff somehow, some way. Now, as far as the coordinator, like, you get your defensive coordinator and you get your offensive coordinator. I think that Brian Callahan probably leaned toward guys that he's been around. That's why I keep throwing the name out, Troy Walters and Dan Pritchard, because these are two guys that he was in Cincinnati with that had success at their position. Obviously, we know what Troy Walters was able to do with that receiving core. They had a hell of a receiving core. And then you look at Pritchard, who was the quarterback's coach. So he helped, along with Brian Callahan, the development of the quarterbacks within that room. So those are the guys you probably lean toward first. Like, I want you to be a part of my coaching staff. But then the guys that Rand, interviewed, maybe he wants them somehow, some way to be a part of the coaching staff. It doesn't have to be a necessarily like a running backs coach or tight ends coach. It could be you're a part of analytics. You know, you're outside of sort of the box, but you help during a week.
And I do wonder how much of that was influenced by Jason Hodling, Craig Aukerman, Todd Downing. I mean, it's not a mystery that one motivating factor, one reason why Amy Adams Strunk fired Mike Vrabel is because of his coaching hires misses. That we saw Craig Aukerman let go the day after the special teams blunders against the Indianapolis Colts. And at the time, we believed, and I still do believe, that was probably an ownership-motivated move. That how much of this little tidbit in Rand's new job description is due to Mike Vrabel's coaching misses?
Well, I don't know. Misses is one term. The other one, just for hierarchy's sake, is loyalty, right? Like, what if everybody is sitting there, the GM, forget about Amy for a moment, right? She can do anything she wants, right? She's the owner. So you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
You want to change the paint job in the locker room, you can do that. She's the owner. For personnel or for coaches, right, what if everybody in the front office is saying, you know what, it's time to change this coach. The special teams is a mess, whatever. But the coach is so loyal, and he's like, no, I have the say. I'm not firing that guy unless Amy says he's fired. I guess maybe that's where the gray area is with that. How should it be structured? You know, how much say should the GM have? Because I think, Floyd Reese for a time did want to have a say in. Mm-hmm. If we need to make a change on the staff, I want a say in that. I don't want to just give everything to a coach, because when you're in the trenches, right, and I think we would say this about Vrabel, you mm-hmm. probably would say this about Jeff Fisher. He's loyal to his guys.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He doesn't want to just cut bait with the guy that he believes in, even if the guy's struggling. Right?
Well, I mean, listen, John McClain came on these airwaves, and he said, again, you got to pay attention to words. And I'm not saying that he was necessarily talking about Vrabel, but he said hiring your
buddies.
Yeah,
buddies.
Hiring your buddies or
your
his buddies.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like Vrabel was doing, and he missed on just about all of them, with the exception of Tim Kelly. Everybody else, it was a revolving door, and you didn't fire a guy until it got to a point where everybody in the city was like, what are you doing?
You know,
this
Arthur
guy
Smith
needs
was a good
to
hire.
Go. Yeah,
but it wasn't necessarily Arthur Smith, Vrabel's
yeah,
guy.
Arthur Smith
was here,
yeah. for a while. You know, Arthur Smith earned the right to move up in the ranks. Now, should he have been head coach? I mean, it didn't go well in Atlanta, but that doesn't mean he's still not a good coach. Mm-hmm. But to me, when I hear stuff like that, especially after firing somebody that's plugged in like McClain, and he throws that out, throws it out for a reason. I'm not saying he's sure. necessarily talking about Vrabel, but
yeah.
you can't be hiring your buddies. Maybe Ram was like, okay, we're not going down this road again. You hired and fired.
We need to have some checks
exactly.
and balances.
I had
with
no
that.
Say yeah. over that.
I can understand that.
And now I want to have a say. If I don't think he's qualified for the job, me as GM should be able to say, not him. Maybe, let's interview another guy that you like, but not him.
What about when Amy Adams Drunk says, this is not my father's NFL?
It's not.
It's not.
She's absolutely right about
that. I know
that.
You know that. We all know that.
Mm-hmm. She's absolutely right about that. I mean, I think just how the NFL from an analytics standpoint, you know, and I think, you know, radio is not the same. You know, we got Willie.
Heck
Willie
yeah.
is great with analytics. He brings analytics to the table all the time. People may not be used to that. You know, that ain't.
We
you
used
know,
to not even
exactly.
have a computer in front of us.
Absolutely. So people are not used to that.
Forget about a cell phone. We didn't have a computer,
years,
cell
exactly.
phone, anything. We just
yeah.
came in with the sports section.
Exactly. So 20 years ago, it wasn't the way radio isn't what it is then like it was now. Mm-hmm. Now you use analytics and stuff like that help you with your argument or whatnot. Well, that's basically what she's saying. Like, listen, this is not my father's NFL anymore. We use a whole different metric now. Yes, we still use some of the things that they used back then, the eye test, stuff like that. We still use that, but we have incorporated a whole new system that a lot of teams, not just in football, but baseball, basketball, hockey, they're using analytics. We got to use analytics, whether you think it's just, you know, whatever or not. We got to use analytics because there is a place for it in today's football. And I think that's what she's saying.
I think there's a lot of different ways to interpret that. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting statement that we can debate. And I'll bring another. I think the financial part of it is an interesting one. We can maybe get into that.
Because it could be
later.
Something that she puts out there. Yeah. Like, look, things, times are changing. Look,
but,
I get
but
it.
But I think that's absolutely part of it. No question about it, the analytics part. The sports science part
exactly.
of it. It's all new.
Because that's what she said.
And you got to be on board.
That's what
with
she
that.
Said in her presser. A lot of that stuff she brought up in her presser.
So we'll get into that coming up next. Also, when she said that, she was referencing Chad Brinker's new role, which I think is interesting.
He is a very important guy in this equation. No question. He's the analytics guy.
We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. May. Stay tuned into 93.3 Classic Hits tonight. For MTSU men's basketball, the Blue Raiders are at home facing Jacksonville State with pregame beginning at 6 p.m. and tip-off at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on Tennessee at home. Woof, Willie. Woof. Oof. Tip-off
you
is at
You never know. You got to believe.
We believe.
Any given day. Any given Saturday.
Tip-off is at 5 p.m.
Anchor down. Let's go, boys.
Woohoo! Go team! Tip-off at 5 p.m. with pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. Coverage. He's also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. So two tidbits that I do want to get into from Amy Adams Strunk's press release and her statements about the new structure. Brian Callahan, head coach, Rand Carthon, final say. One thing that we touched on before the break is this little piece in here. And look, I could be looking into it way too much, but I do think whenever we hear something from the owner, I think we have a right to nitpick it, especially when we don't hear from the owner very often. But one little piece in here, Amy Adams Strunk says, "This is not my father's NFL." Willie, you had a theory as to what that could mean.
Well, one thing you hear a lot, and D-Mace, you were on the day that we had Chris Mortensen, who really spelled it out, I thought, clearly for me. I guess I had known a little bit, but he really pointed out specifics of the changing times. When you have, for example, a state-of-the-art stadium that has all of the revenue streams, when you've had an ownership change where, I mean, we just talked about, you know, the golf, the LIV, you know, and you get not just a rich person. There's different levels of rich, right? We're talking about deep, deep pocket. I'll use the Mets as an example. Steve Cohen is not just rich. He's got ridiculous amounts of money. That's different than the old model of Art Modell and Bud Adams and Lamar Hunt, just family-owned teams. They happen to own, like, Peter O'Malley for the Dodgers. Like, you can go back to, that's how it used to be, just a family-owned team. But it's kind of changed. So the franchises are worth so much now. So Amy Adams is still in that original, traditional model. But what you hear a lot is, especially because the stadium right now is not state-of-the-art, right? It's not driving a ton of revenue. She doesn't have as deep a pockets as some of her competitors, that the cash flow, it makes it tough. It has changed, right? It's evolved. And that could be a little bit of what she's talking about. This is all, this is like a history class. Take this quote on the wall. What does this mean to you? Write a 4-page paper. I'm like, oh, 4-page paper about this quote? Come on.
But I give you half a page, a page.
It's all theory. But I think it's a fact that, you know, you got to have cash on hand. You want to work the salary cap to your advantage and do more signing bonuses and roll it over and all that stuff. You got to have cash on hand to do that. When you fire a coach and you still owe him and you're still paying the previous general manager and you're paying a new staff, that takes money. You got a budget for that. So I do wonder if that's a little bit of what she's talking about, along with the sports science and the way sports in general are evolving with analytics and all that stuff. We just had that huge hubbub. The Bucks went for it, kind of like the Titans did against the Dolphins, went for two when they could have kicked and then kicked again to tie it the way everybody would have done it back in the day. Like, it's evolving,
it's
right?
It's changing. The league is changing. And in terms of the Titans' power structure here, Chad Brinker is one name that we haven't mentioned. Nor do I think it should be a name that we just kind of gloss over, because just because we don't see Chad Brinker in his day-to-day operations, Paul Koharski reported that he is now reporting to Amy Adams Strunk.
That's interesting.
You don't report to the owner if you're just some schlub. Like, Chad Brinker is an incredibly important part of this power structure. And Amy Adams Strunk highlights he'll oversee the cap and operations and analytics. But he is an important factor in this. And while I don't know exactly what his day-to-day job looks like, I do wonder, in terms of hierarchy, where does Chad Brinker fall?
I think Chad is probably, you know, he's sort of that between Amy and Rand. You know, if you look at it, day-to-day responsibility. I'm not going to call it a buffer. But,
not a buffer, above. Sorry,
oh yeah, he's above.
But didn't Rand kind of bring him in? I kind of viewed him as Rand's sort of right hand man, analytics department. Sort of this, it's not your dad's NFL. Like, he's bringing a lot to that to the table where they were pretty deficient in that area before they got in there.
But I mean, listen, there's a lot that is going to be on Rand Carthon's plate, from the players' evaluation to the coaches' hiring. So Rand, he could be a guru when it comes to salary cap, but more than likely Brinker is there to be that guy that sort of looks at the salary cap. All right, you go out, you evaluate all the players, do the football stuff. Now, as far as free agency, now I got to make it work, Todd Brinker, from the standpoint of can this, how do we fit this guy into our budget?
Isn't that Vin Marino's job?
I think the analytics and the value of a player, how you set the value for a player, does tie into the salary cap stuff. I think that's an interesting
because I'm just,
you've got to marry
looking,
those two. They've got to be on the same
page.
I'm just
going by the title. Day-to-day responsibilities that include direct oversight of football department that addresses salary cap management, analytics and strategy, communications and information systems. So he is going to be in charge. How much? I don't know. But it does say he's going to be in charge of the salary cap management, managing the salary cap. Okay, we like this player. I've evaluated him as a free agent. Can we fit him then into what we're doing from a contractual standpoint with our team? Does he fit? Or if he doesn't, how can we make him fit? Because we really need him.
Right. I mean, he's the president of football operation. Yeah. You don't get much higher than the president of something. So it could be that he is the overseer of all of those things, all the operations.
He's an important guy.
Cap included. He's an important guy. Absolutely. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. All right. Coming up next, in terms of Brian Callahan, how much different will this Titans team look with his offense? With him as head coach. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.